And I have a little town, kind of like Leavenworth, Washington. People know that's kind of like a little touristy town at the base of the mountain, at the base of a volcano, really, but near a volcano. That because I'm in volcano land in Washington, right? I wanted to have a series really with a volcano. And so the first book, When the Silence Breaks, is about a character that I wanted to write a story about from my book Cold Light of Day. She was a CIA agent in that book, and I wanted to give her own story. So she comes into the story, look, trying to find out who murdered her brother, and the answer lies on the mountain in a plane crash that nobody believes crashed there.
Welcome to the Literary Escape Podcast, the only podcast that serves both readers and authors of historical Christian romance. We read, discuss, review, and rate books in this unique romance subgenre, and sprinkle in a few contemporary Christian suspense books. Authors, we bring you inside tips and tricks from those who have gone before you. Then we bring both readers and authors together for fun-filled live Q&As. Literary Escape is the one-stop shop for both readers and authors to connect, learn, and grow together. Let's dive into this adventurous episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to another Literary Escape podcast, and we are so excited to have Elizabeth Goddard back on here with us. Welcome back.
Great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and I am also excited because this time we are talking about your newest release, When the Silence Breaks. So, the cover. I think it's beautiful. I love those colors.
Yeah, it's great.
And this is the first book in your next series, right? Mercy Ridge series? Okay, and how many books will we have in that series?
Just three. Three book series, pretty much.
Okay. Some people go longer and some keep it short at three. Well, I think three is actually pretty typical in a series. Right. So we're just excited. We have not had the opportunity to read this book yet, but we are excited to just kind of dive in with you. If you want to just share a little bit about that book and then maybe what we can expect in that series.
Okay. Let me go back and just say I got the idea, and this may be part of the questions, but it kind of leads
That's
up to
okay.
what it's about. I was reading a regional magazine set in Washington in the Cascade Mountains, and I read a story about Mission Ridge Ski Resort, and they had some history behind it, and it was about a World War II bomber that had crashed in the Cascade Mountains, and where the resort kind of now is, pretty close to that, and then they have part of the bomber is there is kind of a display, the wing of the bomber. But, I just thought, it just seems so interesting to me. So I started asking, what if the bomber crashed and it was carrying a deadly payload, but nobody knew that it crashed, all these questions. And so I came up with a whole series that I call Mercy Ridge instead of Mission Ridge. And I have a little town kind of like Leavenworth, Washington. People know that's kind of like a little touristy town at the base of the mountain, at the base of a volcano, really, but near a volcano. That because I'm in volcano land in Washington, right? I wanted to have a series really with a volcano. And so the first book, When the Silence Breaks, is about a character that I wanted to write a story about from my book Cold Light of Day. She was a CIA agent in that book, and I wanted to give her own story. So she comes into the story, look, trying to find out who murdered her brother, and the answer lies on the mountain in a plane crash that nobody believes crashed there. Everybody says it crashed in the Cascade, in the ocean, Pacific Ocean. And so she hires a former Navy SEAL, Ryder Goodwin, who's also a wilderness guide, to take her up the mountain. And so that's all about the action and adventure and getting up and down the mountain and the mountain rumbling the whole time. I thought when I wrote the blurb and I sold it and I had to sit down and write, I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? It worked out. Okay, it worked out.
So there's a volcano featured then in this one.
And it's because, I live in the Washington state as part of the Cascades are part of the Ring of Fire, and there's multiple volcanoes. In fact, I can straight east of me is Mount Rainier, and I can see that every day. And Mount St. Helens is like an hour and a half for me. I've driven down there and, you can go close and look at the observatory, and there's other mountains that are volcanoes and in the Cascades. And so I created a fictional one kind of based on what we already have. And in book three, which is what I'm about to start, things are going to happen.
Wow. That I love it. And But we won't see volcano action till book three, it sounds like. Like, we might hear some rumblings, but not.
Yeah, and it's, you know, all of my books, I have create what I like to call a stunning setting, because setting really inspires me. I don't know, you know, it's just God's creation, and it's just so beautiful. And I just, you know, want to set stories to show God's creation. And so, like, in Hidden Bay, the series that I'm just coming out of, Deadly Currents, was just released in February. It was set on the Washington coast and the crashing waves. And so, you know, whatever that feature is going to be a main part of all the books. In fact, my website, if you go to that now, it shows waves crashing on the rocks, and that is the Hidden Bay series. And for this next series, my website designer is going to create a new background to feature the setting of that series. And so that's just, it's important to me.
And it shows in your writing. So I'm right now in the middle of your Hidden Bay series, and it makes me want to go see these crashing waves, because the only oceans I've been on or beaches are like the white sandy beaches of Florida on the Gulf Coast, right?
And I've been there too, yes.
Yeah. And so it's just much different. But you do a really good job of pulling up, for anyone who hasn't read her books yet, there, she does a great job of pulling that setting and that, what do you want to call it? Like the emotion, really connecting the emotion to, like, this, well, in Hidden Bay,
atmosphere,
the storms. Yeah, yeah. You do a really good job with that.
Thank you.
When you said you wrote the blurb, right, to pitch the series, was which character came to you first as you thought about it?
I really think it was probably Ryder Goodwin, because I needed a wilderness guide, and so, you know, I kind of slowly started developing him, thinking about him, and then brought in Sarah, because she needed her story. And I kind of developed them as I'm writing the story, because I kind of have to get in their heads and start living their life and figure out who they are. I don't do the big, you know, some people do a big character sketch outline ahead of time. It doesn't work for me. I just have to be in the story before I know what they need to be or who they are. Sometimes I think I know what they need to be, but then they're like, no, that's not who I am. And I've even changed, you know, pick out a name. I have to start writing. I'll pick out a name. And sometimes I'm writing and I'm like, this isn't their name. No, you know, so I have to try out different names. Like, yeah, this is the one.
It's so on that train of thought, then did the story change significantly from like your initial thoughts on it to where it ended?
I just, you know, I just, since I don't outline, that's, I can say, no, it didn't change a lot, because I don't outline. I really am a pantser, but I lean more that way anyway, but I have some loose ideas. You know, I know they need to get to certain point A to point B, and then sometimes point B turns out to be something completely different, but I can say it's not what I was thinking it would be, but I'm not even sure what I thought, you know. That sounds crazy. I sound like a crazy writer.
No, don't. I mean, did they make it to the ending you initially imagined for them?
Well, yes, I can say that, but it was a different ending than I initially. Well, I'm contradicting myself all over the place here. Well, that's why I don't write an outline, because it's going to change so much. So why bother? But, you know, I knew they had to get up on the mountain. I knew they needed to find something. And mm-hmm. how that all came about, I didn't really know that. So how about that? Does that work?
Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds great. I write in the same way, because I feel like outlining just, I don't know, it sucks the creativity out of me. And I'm like, ugh, it feels like school.
Right?
You know, taking notes in class. And so I just let it fly too. So.
And then when you have to change the story, I don't know about your writing, but I changed the story. You know, you just have to go with what's happening in the story. And that there's so far off the outline sometimes that I'm like, why did I spend all that time?
Yeah.
And so in a way, I don't know about you, but like I write a very rough, rough draft, which is going to be about 50,000 words to start. And you could even think of that as my outline, right? You know, writing that, okay, this is the story, and I can go change it up or, you know, flesh it out, whatever I need to do. But then I have to build all of that. I have to cut and I have to edit and polish and do all that till I make it to a maximum of 85,000 words.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't write, it can sometimes be very difficult to hit the word count and not go over. Right. I talked about that in another interview with another author recently. Sometimes that word count can be a challenge.
Yes, I'm about 4,000 over right now on something that I have to, I've already turned in, my editor's already looked at it, and I've just done the polishing.
And you don't want to, right? You think, where can I cut? And
better to be over than short. That's what I say that.
Yes.
I don't know if it's true or not, but that's how I feel because, you know, if you're short,
Yeah, then it's I've got to create more and come up with more. Yeah, definitely. What kind of research do you do then for your novels?
I probably just the same as everybody else. I read books, I search on the internet, I talk to people, I read blogs and I watch YouTube videos and I try to just get every single detail right that I can, but obviously, human error, whatever, I'm sure there's things that I miss and don't get right every time. But I probably spend as much time, if not more time, researching than I do writing the book. Because especially when I come back, the editing process for me takes as long as the actual writing. And then I'm doing more research because there's places where I've just left myself a hole to come back and fill in the details, right? And so then I'll come back and spend more time trying to get the details right.
For this book in particular, was there anything that went through your research that you found to be really unique or interesting?
Well, yeah, just trying to get the rhythm of the volcano and hopping into that, setting the background because I've always been fascinated with them. Also the world, things regarding the World War II, and I learned some things about how the CIA actually started, and just digging into the past and the history. I love history, and actually, I started out pitching and trying to be a historical writer, but I'm here at this place, and I love it too, and I can still incorporate some history as I did with this book. So, yeah, it was just I love researching and learning new facts, and it was all very fascinating. The everything about the volcano and everything about the history. Of the actual plane that crashed in the Cascades.
Yeah, I have to ask, what time era did you imagine yourself doing for historical?
Oh gosh, I was all over the map. I have this little folder that I used to take to the ACFW conference with me and had some old. I'm like, I found it cleaning out files. I'm like, oh my goodness. And I had something from the Middle Ages. I had some Texas early 1900s where it was. Or, where they were discovering oil. And because I am from Texas and I grew up in a town where that was a big thing, the oil discovery and World War II, so just all over the place. And so, early on, I think, I don't know if this is true for everyone, but I loved reading widely, if I can say that word. And, trying to figure out who I was as a writer, finding my voice, it took some time. And so
Yeah.
I'm over here in a romantic suspense, which I love reading that too. So,
Yes. Do you tend to, when you're writing, do you read in your genre as you're writing, or do you try to read outside of that so it doesn't influence your story too much?
well, I read all over the place, and I do read romantic suspense, and I read in my genre, and I read general market and Christian fiction. I don't really worry about that too much because, it took me a while to really find my voice and find my niche. And I think that I'm just really, that my voice is what it is now. And I don't think that's going to, reading somebody else's is going to change that because, it just took me a while to get there and I'm here. And I read, gosh, I read all over the place. I read thrillers and science fiction and fantasy and just, everything. But I think everything and anything can inspire me, even in my own writing, can inspire me. But it doesn't have to change the way I write, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like influence your voice or yeah. Do you have an author or a handful of authors that have really influenced your writing?
Well, I think I could just say that early on when I was like, teenager in 20, in my 20s, I would read a lot of gothic romance novels. And I think that I still kind of carry that feeling inside of me of just, maybe the suspense and the intrigue, I guess, it just kind of, so I carry that into my story. So I think that a lot of those writers like Phyllis Whitney and Victoria Holt, I don't know if you read those, probably kind of gave me that desire to put that in my story. So it just kind of comes naturally. I love thriller writers. Like I love to read James Rollins. And so I like the way he ends. He has a lot of great cliffhangers. So I actually like, oh yeah, I need to do something better in my chapter and that kind of thing. So
So, how did you then get into writing? Like, did you know as a teenager you wanted to be a writer and that's what you pursued? Did you start in another career and end up in writing? How'd that work for you?
well, I think that I probably was always a writer. It was always something inside of me. And I share this a lot, but my mom had sent in a poem that I had written when I was like you know, 8 or 9, and she said she was going to send it to a publisher. And I don't know if she ever did send it. For years, I thought she hadn't sent it. But recently, I thought, well, maybe she did, and I got rejected, and she just didn't want to hurt my feelings. But the point is that she kind of planted that seed, I think. I was always an avid reader, but never really thought about writing, because all I could think of when I thought of a writer was like maybe Lois Lane as a reporter. I mean, we didn't have the internet. When I was growing up, we didn't have the internet to like, what are the options out there, you know? And I just thought writing a novel, you know, starving artist, that's what I'd be. So I actually went and got my degree in computer science. And I figured if I could work in that sector, that I could do what I wanted as a hobby. But anyway, as it turned out, I was in high school. My English teachers entered me in UIL writing. So, you know, I was just always naturally writing. And then even working at a software company, I was writing the marketing proposals. So, you know, I was just always writing. So it wasn't until I decided to stay home with my first child, you know, and after years of being a career woman, you know, I was like, I need something outside of this to do. And so I thought writing. And so I tried to figure out what that would look like for me. Would that be articles or what? And so I ended up going to my first writing conference in 2001 and joined AC. It was American Christian Romance Writers at the time, but I joined that organization and started submitting a chapter a week. And so I just feel like God kind of directed my course. You know, I wasn't really sure where or what, but I went to the conference every year until 2015, I think, was my last one. So to go every year and say to meet editors and network and learn the craft.
And for anyone listening that's thinking about writing as a career, I would highly recommend joining ACFW. Even if you don't go to the conference, they have lots of resources and ways to connect and like Elizabeth said, learn the craft of writing as well. So yeah, so that's exciting. Everyone, I think, gets into the author career a little bit different. You know, so I love to ask that question
to hear that. I joined a critique group with ACFW, and not all of critique groups work out, but it turned out to be such a blessing. And everyone in the group when we joined was not published, but now everybody's multi-published, like Tammy Alexander.
Yeah.
You know, she's in the group, and Debbie Votes and Lisa Harris and several other, and I can't think of their names right now, but most of them are still friends. And when I've gone to the conference, that has been my biggest highlight, is just the friends and the people you meet along the way.
Yeah. And I've heard that a lot too, the people you started out with, you grow together as authors, and before you know it, you look back and you're all published authors. And
Right. It's really about the journey. I can say that now that I'm here. When I was there, it was like getting published is what it was
Yes.
about.
That was one of the questions I was going to ask. If there was one thing you could say to your pre-published self, what would it be?
Well, just hang in there and enjoy, you know, live in the moment, right? Because I spend a lot of my personal life even, you know, hoping and waiting for that next something. But I have to learn to live in the moment. It's the same with writing. I mean, I spent so many years, you know, hoping and at the same time, that was very exciting. I think I kind of miss going back to the conference those times because it was so full of anticipation. You know, you go and you just, you know, everybody's gearing up to go meet with the editor, or go pitch to their agent or whatever. And it's just so much emotion and excitement. And I wish I could go back to myself and say, you know, keep all of that, but just know it's going to turn out okay.
Yeah, that's wonderful. All right. So I have a couple of other questions here for you on what makes romance satisfying to you as a reader and a writer?
Well, let's see. That's a tough question. Because, I mean, I write 50-50, like suspense, romance. So, you know, romance is only part of what I write. And so I think that chemistry is number one. I mean, it's kind of weird to think of it. Even a novel, sometimes the characters don't have, you know what I'm talking about? On a movie,
yeah.
You see, these people don't work well together. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but some movies, I'm like, I'm out. They don't work well together. In novels, I mean, it can be the same. I'm reading a story, I'm like, these two don't work. So chemistry, and I don't even know how to make that magic happen. It's just something, it's a feeling that you have to make work. I think something else would be sacrifice. I was just thinking about a book that I read. It's been a long time, but it was a Christian science fiction, I think, by Karen Hancock Arena. And I don't know if anybody's read that. It's a pretty old book, but the ending was so good. The hero's sacrifice was so good that 3:30 in the morning, I was still reading at 3:30 in the morning. I went back to read the whole last quarter of the book again, you know, just so I could experience it. It was so good, but it was about the hero's sacrifice for the heroine. So I think those are some key things that are important to me for a good romance. I don't know if I hit them. I personally hit the mark every time, but I try.
Yeah. So then what do you hope your readers walk away feeling, or I guess just walk away with after they've read one of your books?
Well, I think one of the greatest things that I can hear from a reader is that I'm still thinking about this book days later. I love that. And sometimes that's really just because of the emotional impact, right? And a lot of times I want my readers to come away feeling hopeful and feeling having my messages or have redemption in them, because it needs to be about hope and redemption. But, you know, just wondering, wow, you know, about the twists and the turns, you know, just the surprise things that happen. And then some of the deeper research that I've done of things that they didn't even know about, you know, things that they're learning as they read, and then just come away thinking about the book for days after. What was the question again?
No, you got it. You got it. Just, you know, what do you hope your readers walk away with after reading your book? So,
oh, did I go off too far?
No, you're totally fine. Totally fine. And then this book is going to be book 66 for you. Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. When the Silence Breaks, and it's just kind of a mock cover, you know, that I can display, but it's Revell really knocks it out of the park, yes. Don't they, with their covers? Yeah. And I am just excited, so excited about this cover and this new book, this new series, Mercy Ridge. And
yeah,
I'm excited about, it's funny because I go into every series, you know, just like after I'm Missing Alaska, it was set in Alaska. I mean, how can I beat that, right? You know, everybody loves Alaska. And so I had Hidden Bay, but readers have really responded to the new series, Hidden Bay series. And so I'm very excited for them I hope that they will be just excited about Mercy Ridge as they were Hidden Bay and Missing Alaska and all the others.
Yeah. And your Hidden Bay series will be featured the rest of this month in August on the podcast. So we're excited for that. And our book club seems to be enjoying it as well.
So we're
excited about that. All right. So you kind of already gave us one of the things I always like to kind of wind down with is any hints on your future projects. But I feel like you've already given us quite an overview of the Mercy Ridge series. But is there anything else you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, actually, I am. I'm actually, you know, you in the traditional publishing, you work about a year, 2 years ahead. Like I'm writing the book, I turn it in, and then it goes through all that process. So another year of edits and this and that. And so I'm writing book three right now. I'm starting book three of Mercy Ridge. And I just was, you know, I haven't signed a contract or anything, but tentatively I'll be doing another proposal or another series tentatively called. I'm having trouble with my speech.
You're okay.
The Blue Mountain Justice, and that's set in Oregon and Washington, series of mountains in Oregon and Washington. And so I'm excited about that. So see, I've got to be working way ahead. So yeah. I'm already thinking about even the next series that I'll be after book three, I'll be starting writing on that. So I hope.
Wow. That's exciting. Are you thinking that series will feature any side characters we meet?
Possibly. I like to throw them in. And a lot of times I do what's called, you know, an Easter egg, you know, I throw it, bring it up. And so, if you're a reader and a fan, you're like, oh, I'm so glad to see that character here again. And if you haven't read the books, you don't know, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't affect your understanding of the story, which is great. All right. Are you ready to try a few rapid fire questions? Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
I promise they're not too terrible. And if there's one you're like, I don't know, because I don't really think about that, we'll just pass it. Okay. But the first one is, if you could cast actors to play the roles of your characters, let's just focus on When the Silence Breaks, who would you cast for those roles?
That's always such a hard one. But, you know, given one of my favorite actors right now anyway, and obviously because he has a movie in theaters, is Ryan Gosling. And I think he would make a fantastic Ryder Goodwin. You know, it's funny because he can look so different. Like he's a nerd kind of in this new movie he's got out. But in The Fall Guy, you know, picture him like that. He would make a great Ryder Goodwin. And I absolutely love Emily Blunt. Of course, they played together in The Fall Guy, but she has played in sci-fi movies. And, you know, she's just, I think she would be a great Sarah Ellison in this book, you know, just very tough and capable and can go up that mountain and fight monsters.
That's There's no awesome.
monsters.
Yeah. It's not sci-fi. What songs would be on the soundtrack for this book?
This one, I have no idea. I love, I mean, yeah, I don't know. And sometimes, you know, when you're watching a movie and they've got this great soundtrack, you're like, who came up? Who found those songs? They're great. They're perfect. And so I really have no idea on that one.
And that's okay. Not everybody has a soundtrack for their book. It's totally fine. All right. When writing, do you choose coffee or tea?
Coffee. I have tea, but I always like, I'm going to the K-Cup for the coffee.
The strong stuff.
Yes, yes.
And you already answered this, but plotter or pantser?
Pantser. You know, yes. I think everybody's in the on the scale, right? You know, I mean, you go yep. up and down a little bit, but I lean towards pantser.
Do you like morning writing or night owl?
Oh, I'm neither. I'm not a morning person.
You're right in the middle.
Yes, yes, I have to fit it all into the middle of the day. Everything.
Are you someone that likes to have a slow morning? Like, just want to take your time getting
oh, yeah.
awake
and to rush, get up. Now, I actually start work in the morning because I you have to read your emails, you have to answer things, and I'll do yeah. the simple marketing stuff that and all of those things. You know, I'll do that. But the actual writing, I have to be, you know, I have to be fully awake.
Yep, yep, I get it. And what's always on your desk while you write?
Everything. I mean, it's just a big old mess. I have like multiple calendars, even organizers, even so. And I have a little bag of chocolate that's hiding inside of my desk, but you didn't say inside my desk. And so if I need chocolate, I will reach in there. But if it's on my desk, other people will get it or the yeah. dog.
Yeah. Well, and you don't want that, right? I have a teacher I used to work with that she always her top. Like right-hand drawer was always full of chocolate and everyone knew it. So people were always in there like, hey, I just need chocolate in her desk. So, which she loved it. She loved giving everybody chocolate. So, all right. If your main characters came to have dinner with you, what would you serve and what would you talk
about? Yes. I probably serve pizza or frozen lasagna because I can't cook and I don't want them to eat what I cook. Well, we could talk about some of their backstory baggage. It's always in the story, or we could talk about happy endings and their relationship.
Fun. So where can readers, we're done with the rapid fire now. You did a great job. Where can readers connect with you and find your book?
Well, ElizabethGoddard.com is place one. And then, you know, you got to go over there and look at the crashing waves because actually they're going away and they might even be gone when this airs, but because in May, the Mercy Ridge is coming up. And then you can also find on my website, you can find all of the little icons for all my social media like Twitter or X and Facebook and Pinterest and Goodreads and BookBub and on and on and on. Not on TikTok, but can't do everything.
That's still quite a bit to keep up with. And do you do a newsletter as well?
I do. And actually, I should have mentioned that. So on my website, like right in the middle, you just kind of scroll down a little bit. You just sign up for that and you get a free book. It's kind of a free short book, like 40,000 words or 200 pages to give an example of my writing, I guess, and it's called Collision Course. And then once a month, I send out a newsletter and then sometimes more if there's something important news to share. Like we just came off the Christian Fiction Scavenger Hunt this last weekend. And then on Thursday, I have a Facebook romantic suspense party that I'm in with Lynette Easton and some others. And of course, this is airing later. So.
Later, yeah.
So, but then my readers would get to know about that.
That's awesome. Is there anything else that you would like to share but didn't get to share so far?
Nope, I think we're good. And thanks for everything you do to promote Christian fiction.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for hopping on and chatting with me today. I greatly appreciate it. And like I said, for our listeners, this is out in August, but for the Mercy Ridge series, for the start of that series. But we are also featuring her Hidden Bay series the rest of this month. So be sure to tune in for that.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If so, please consider sharing our podcast. Every share helps us reach more readers and authors like you. Until next time, happy and blessed reading and writing.